Welcome to Swear Down. I'm Danelle.
How you doing? I'm Wayne. This is a show where we keep it 100 with you.
I'm telling you, it's so easy to get caught up with social media and seeing only what people want you to see. Sometimes we get into some deep conversations because it's hard to tell what's real out here.
We are both highly connected but don't always have the same view on things. And we often explore these differences on relationships, love, family, God, and everything in between.
We've been together almost 3 years now and continue to learn so much about each other and life, we thought we'd share it. It's crazy to think how different our life experiences are.
Swear Down is a statement to signify that what you speak is 100% truth. Derived from being so truthful, you'd be willing to put someone's life on it. So, sit back, get comfortable, because we're about to get into it.
Proper, like, but you, son, how did you used to record it and stuff? Like, I remember you were talking about bouncing some tapes. Oh, that's how you know he's just old. Like,
let me just wipe,
legit,
my,
real
let me just
talk.
Wipe my face, clear my little throat. Because this is anybody that knows about trying to do their thing from the ground, yeah, up, and you don't have, obviously, like, everybody starts something, but watch this, yeah. So, this is how I'm making a beat. Stay with me, yeah. So, I've got the Atari ST running Cubase on a floppy disk, yeah, floppy disk.
Oh my god, what, the 3.5 inch? Or
nah, levels, 3.5 inch, yeah. Come on, let me take you to some big floppy. Nah, no, not like,
yeah,
like a 7-inch
vinyl
in a case.
Yeah.
In a cassette.
All right.
First one.
Let's go.
I told you we're gonna make it here, you know, and look at us now. We're doing it now.
Gosh, we've come a long way to get here now.
A long time, yeah. What's going on, Najo? I'm Wayne.
And I'm Danelle.
One half of this damn no.
But we know who be the better half though, right?
Right. I'm not gonna go off that early. So
so this first podcast, we thought we'd just kind of keep it kind of cash, keep it relaxed,
casual,
let you guys know who we are, what we're about, where we're from, what we repping,
what you represent.
West Side. No, I'm joking. And just to kind of give you a flavor of our personalities and kind of give you a little bit of what you can expect. We're not going to go in too deep this first time around. Just kind of keep it chill.
Get a feel. See where we're coming from.
Yep. So I'll go first.
Go on then, ladies first, as they say.
Well, you know, and age before beauty as well,
manners,
you know.
Come on, people. Come on.
So yeah, I'm Danelle, as I've already said. I'm 33 years old. I was born and raised in St. Lucia in the Caribbean.
Island girl.
Right. Moved to the UK when I was 12. And basically have lived here ever since. So I've been in the UK longer than I've been in St. Lucia. But my accent might give it away a little bit. I'm not sure how this is going to translate.
When she gets excited, yeah. When you hear certain topics that we start speaking about and she gets excited, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. You're going to be like, oh, so did. And you're going to see. You're going to see.
Or when he makes me really mad. That's when the mission comes out, yeah. So and then I've been living here ever since, did the whole uni thing, school, everything over here, and yeah, just been living life like everybody else. And I go back home quite often, try and make it out there once a year. And funny that, because Wayne's family's also from St. Lucia.
Yes. I'm a Lucian as well, but I was born here, born and raised here, but family come back from St. Lucia, back over there. And yeah, like, it's a, we'll get into that. That's another avenue for us to discuss, like, and show you a lot. But yeah, we, you know, when they say 7 degrees of separation,
I think it's 6 degrees.
Yeah, 6 degrees.
Well, that's what the movie said anyway.
Oh, but we'll go by the movie, something like that. But yeah, you'll get it.
So go on, tell them where you were born.
Me, myself, yes, your boy. Yeah, I'm joking. I'm not, I'm a grown man. 38 years old. Born England.
Are you repping?
Representing. See, I always say St. Lucia, you know, but obviously I'm from Northwest London.
Yeah, don't try it.
Born and raised Northwest London, up to the age of like, what, 21, 22, moved out of the area. Father of three kids.
Three gorgeous kids.
The age of Jarrell and Amelia. That's that, what, 16, 14. So Asia's 16, Jarrell's 14, Amelia's 6, turning 6 this year.
Yeah.
A lot of a lot of things been going on in my life growing up. You know, I used to be a professional dancer. I used to be up there on the stage doing
my things.
Yeah,
and can I just say, he dropped his pants in the middle of a club at like 18, yeah? Don't know if I feel comfortable about that, but, you know, that was that life.
Yeah, so I spent my years growing up while Donnell was in St. Lucia. I was over here just, you know, growing up as a normal guy. Had hobbies like basketball and all the stuff like that you normally do. But I got into some dancing with my boys. And then from there, had a nice little run for about 6 years of just
living that
stage life. You understand? Like living that stage life, which was very insightful, and it made me realize what I wanted to do with my life and how I wanted to impact people. So we're here, innit? So that's like a little brief little breakdown on me. So we touch in all avenues. We expanding our horizons and our portfolio.
Well, right, I had to show him a little bit about where he is actually from, because culturally, I think that is so different. Like growing up,
for me, that's seeing both sides
of the spectrum. Like growing up in the island where it's like super relaxed, and then
imagine this. Let me ask you, what was you doing at the age of, let's say, 11? 10.
Yo, when I was 11, old. 10, like, we were playing outside. We were in the trees, like, climbing trees and
so in St.
riding
Lucia,
bike down the hill, and who taking the pleash and who getting...
The pleash. You hear that now, the pleash. All right, break it. Hold up, pleash. We have to look. We're going to need... During this podcast, we're going to be able to speak proper St. Lucian pattern. Pleash, break it down. What is pleash?
It's when you fall and you scrape your legs, isn't it? Or you scrape some part of your body, you fall off something. Right. It's not too serious. Yeah, and like we were playing outside, and it wasn't even like you had like all the toys and the gadgets and stuff that kids have today. Like people were making like tires down the road with like a metal ring, and they have the stick.
I remember
stick
when
and
I used to come over when
down.
I was 10 and I used to see the
like,
kids doing
well,
it.
Well, I used to call it, there's a game we used to play with stones. Yeah, like we were imaginative. We used to play this game where you throw the stone up in the air and you pick up one whilst it's up in the air, or pick up as many as you can. I think Amy was saying it's called pick up over here, or somebody played it in St. Lucia.
Jacks, or something like that. Yeah, that's the one with the bat. You know, over here we have the five little metal things and then the rubber ball, and you've got to pick up whatever.
Nah, mate, we did it. We did it hardcore with stones. Yeah.
See, look, that's it. They had stones. Like, in real talk, they never had no rubber, no jacks. They had just pick up whatever was on the floor. They had to just pick up.
Yeah, so it was all about, like, just making the most of what you have. And if you didn't have, then you still had fun anyways. You know what I mean? You go to the beach.
Yeah, you had to learn how to make it work.
Like, and just chill out and have fun. Some of my best memories are on the beach in St. Lucia growing up. But there's none of that here, I tell you.
10 years old? What was I doing at 10 years old? I was playing Kirby or race around. I used to live down Kensal Green, Bayford Road. It's like near Mobley Sports Centre. I think Kensal Rise, Kensal Green area. And I used to just be riding around in the little blocks, because they've got like, it's all sectioned off, private road area, and it's got blocks and you can ride your bike around. I used to be bursting lick around here on bikes that are two sizes big for me. But still, yeah. And that's a couple of times I took I went around the corner one time, I took a pleash.
Yeah.
I took a proper pleash, people. I come around the corner bussing, riding. I think we were playing, like, you know, you ride around the block, jump off, give your bredge in the bike, he jumps on, then he starts riding, and then you tag in it. So, and then whoever wins first, so I must be the third guy. I'm jumping on. I'm off. Bus around the corner, there's a car in the middle of the road, park. Standstill right there, nowhere to go. I hit that boy.
Oh, God. You see, you don't have to worry about that kind
jump
of things
jump
down
man,
in St. Lucia. Like, listen, the most thing you might have to worry about is that you nick a stone the wrong way, like, and that's it.
But that's the differences of, like, how we came up, being from where we're from. Like, we often draw comparisons to our lifestyles and the things we've gone through. And it often, I think it's safe to say, often sometimes conflicts in conversation just because of where we come from. We're both talking about the same thing, but our experiences of that same situation is so, or how we would handle it is so much different because of where we're
from. Yeah, and the way, like, the principles and stuff, I mean, ultimately I think when you look at it from a high level, it's the same. But when you look at the way that we operate in St. Lucia, and well, certainly in my era and in my time growing up, I don't know what it's like for the younger generation, like, what you did was you went to school and you did well in school. There was no time for playing games, video games and all of that. And you had to do well at school. You had to get married. You had to have the house and the kids.
The whole nine yards. They was watching you, patterning you.
That was the plan. Like, even whether it was spoken about or not, that's what it was expected of you.
I can believe that. I can understand the social construct in that sense of how it was back, like being growing up in the Caribbean, because obviously everyone knows, like, growing back up home, like, your granny, your aunt, they ain't taking no slackness from no child over there, innit, like, compared to how it is over here.
Yeah, and so, that whole "it takes a village to raise a child" kind of thing, like, that is definitely something. Like, if your nenen's cousin friend saw you in town when you doing something you're not supposed to be doing, you better believe by the time you get home your mum finds out.
That's a problem, isn't it? Yeah, that's gonna be a situation. So yeah, that's crazy.
But it even, like, last night we were having a conversation about the things, like, that we enjoy doing in St. Lucia and you just don't get the same enjoyment here.
This is crazy. Like, last night we were trying to go out, we thought, my sister jumped on a plane to go back home to go and see mum. So we're out of there, like, cool. Coming back, we're thinking, you know what, let's make a night of it, let's go and do something. So we're driving back to where we live. We're from up Aylesbury, innit? So we're driving back to Aylesbury from London. We're trying to think of something to do and somewhere to go, and for the love of us, we can't think. We went to Top Golf.
We tried to go to Top Golf.
Top Golf
in Watford.
I parked the car. Donnell said she's gonna go inside and have a look. Tell them what happened.
So we went in there and we're thinking, okay, the car park looks a little bit busy. Mind you, the whole day and pretty much most of the night, like, it's been pissing it down with rain, as is the norm here in the UK.
Yeah,
and,
always.
We thought, okay, well, maybe most people would decide to stay at home. So walked in there. I was going up to the lady. I'm like, okay, so how long's the wait? 50 groups of people ahead of us.
50 people. I was like, that's 50 groups. Let's get this straight. That's 50 groups, not 50 people, you know. 50 groups of people.
We have to find something else to do. So we went back to the car thinking, okay, it's a Saturday night, you know, maybe we can come up with something. And then we sat down and thought about it. The majority of what there is to do out here, well, when I say out here, I mean in the UK, it's like going to pubs, like going to clubs, and just kind of like there's other things that you can do. And maybe that's just us not broadening our horizons enough over here.
Yeah, somebody email and say, yo, you lot are just not looking.
Yeah, but for me, like, the things that are immediately accessible without you having to, like, pre-plan or pre-book.
Yeah, and
it's like pubs, bars, maybe restaurants, and that's it. There's no, like, proper...
There's a bowling, there's a ice skating, and then there's a cinema.
Yeah, there's no, like, activities for adults that you can just do in, like, just two people. Like, you probably have to have a big group or, like, go and do something during the day. Yeah. Like, but in the evening time, there's just nothing to do. And then we compare that to St. Lucia.
Well,
there's, like, every bar that you go to has a different vibe.
Yeah. This is what we was comparing. There's one place in St. Lucia that we live close to. And they've got two bars there, and they're literally across the road. They're literally adjacent from each other.
But they're the ones that, true that.
That's another story. But if you stand right in the middle of this road and you look in front of you, there's one bar. You turn around and there's another bar.
So any of my St. Lucians listening in, you probably know where we're talking
about.
You
probably know straight.
It's coconuts.
Right? You go up north, and coconuts and Verve, right? But guarantee you, the vibe in each of them places is totally different. And this is what I was comparing it to yesterday when we was in the car driving home. And I was like, if you go to these places, a lot of them they're all the same vibe. You understand? Like, everything's the same. Like, you hear the same music in the same place. And
yeah. Or
even if you go into Central, it's the same
sounds
vibe.
Sounds like Top of the Pops on loop.
Yeah.
if you remember Top of the Pops.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got, like, in St. Lucia, you got just down on the left, you got, like, what's that called? Like, Kibis.
Yeah, Kibis. They do karaoke and all that.
Kibis. And I said, it's a little sports bar thing, but it's a different vibe. You understand? But
what's funny is that even when I'm in St. Lucia and my friends that live down there, they think the same about nightlife in St. Lucia that we do about life up here in the UK. Because they're like, oh, there's nowhere to go. It's the same people you keep seeing.
I guess.
So maybe it's perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we live over here. That's why we feel that way about it. But it's the whole atmosphere and the whole vibe is just completely different. Like, things that what would find so much enjoyment doing in St. Lucia, if I were to do the exact same thing here, it would just be completely different, a different feeling altogether.
Yeah. And you're not wrong with that. And that's the thing. And again, England, as I was, this is my argument, England is not an outdoor country. Like, when you go back to home, or if people that live in any, I would say, if anybody lives in any country that's warm and hot, at least more than 3 months of the year that we get here, probably, yeah? They seem to have adapted the way they live and the way they organize their people as an outdoor country. So there's things to do, even if there's not, as you rightly said yesterday, even if they're not an outdoor event, they've got more things where people will go out to do. I think you were saying in
the States, there's Dave and Buster's, like there's like one.
I've never been there.
Which is like basically nighttime, it becomes like an arcade for adults. And there's so much variety of different things that you can do there. Like there's more indoor activities. But anyways, we can get lost talking about what's fun and what's not.
We digress. We digress.
But it just goes to show, like, for me anyways, like experiencing both sides of it has been sort of really different.
Because, yeah, you came over here when you was how?
When I was 12, so I've been here now for going on almost, it's more than 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a long time, but even still, I don't feel, if anybody asks me where's home,
I can vouch for that. I can, there's days that she says she feels like she's foreign.
And
but I get it. You understand? I understand why you feel like that. And if I was in your situation, I'd probably feel the same way. And funny, even more so saying that, sorry to jump in, but since we've been going back, it's like when I come back here after being back in St. Lucia, that's like, what am I doing here? You understand?
Yeah, well, that's the ultimate plan anyways. But something that I wanted to also point out, which is a bit of a side note, for anybody who doesn't know where St. Lucia is, it's not close to Jamaica, which is the thing that I get most frequently.
Get a map,
it
man.
Is close to Barbados. It's actually 90 miles, I think, northwest of Barbados. It's close, not near Trinidad. No, I'm not Trini, because I often get asked question. Yeah. There are several islands in the Caribbean. So I just wanted to clarify that for anybody who might not know, because especially when I first moved here, that was the first thing. Oh, is it near Jamaica? No, it's not.
But then who would be the people that would ask you that?
Well, it's people who... clearly didn't pay attention in geography.
Fair enough. I was gonna, you know, no, I wasn't trying to go nowhere with it, but I was just saying, like, maybe they're not educated people about what's where and, you know,
well,
what I'm saying.
Well, I think they are now, because St. Lucia is like one of the top 10 destinations to go in the world. I saw recently.
Yeah, we rep in St. Lucia. Rep your island, though. Big up your island. But yeah, big up wherever you're from, you're from, to represent what you're
because
from.
Because it's always, it's good too to meet other people from the Caribbean up here. I mean, Jamaicans in the UK, I think, are the most, the largest sort of West Indian population who have migrated
here.
So you're back when I was like in my 20s and stuff, I used to go specifically look for St. Lucian raves and stuff to go to, because I just kind of wanted a feeling of home without having to go back home.
Well, the way things are going now, everybody seems to be going back to home, no matter where they're from.
Yeah, everybody's like starting to plan know, and plot like how they can move.
Yeah, the amount of people
back.
I know are just thinking, and no matter where you're from, like, really, I mean, like, you can be from bloody Lagos, Ghana, Uganda, Jamaica, but everybody's just chipping home.
Yeah.
And things out here is
looking
just, I think,
bleak.
Looking bleak. And it's coming up to winter, so wrap up, you know what I'm saying? Wrap yourself up. Let's get into your hobbies. Hobby.
Okay, so
kick them off with what was your thing growing up?
So when I growing up, I was a very shy and introverted. So I would be playing outside and doing all of that regular stuff, but the majority of the time, reading is something that I am still passionate about today.
Yeah, she's a bookworm.
Definitely that. I actually got into writing poetry. The reason why I started doing that from probably, I think, about the age of like 10 or 11 is because my parents got divorced at a young age. I'm the oldest of two.
Okay.
And they you know, my mom had a lot on her plate, basically. So she obviously was the one who had custody over us.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a thing where I was more like to kind of vent and to kind of get my emotions and the ways that I was feeling, which generally weren't positive ones, given the fact that my parents had split up and that whole picture of that family life was obliterated.
Relate out there for sure.
Yeah. You know, and so I actually still do a bit of writing, not so much of the poetry. I did self-publish my own book of poetry just to kind of see it in print, something that I'm thinking about re-releasing maybe and try and
make telling her to get on it.
Hey, off of that and share my
just to share
like what I've gone through and maybe, you know, one person might be able to relate to it, you know.
And that's it, that's what we're here to do.
And I also still write short stories and fiction predominantly. So kind of at the moment trying to work on finishing this book, first draft of this book that I've got going. And then just the usual stuff. I'm a big movie buff, like listening to music.
Loves a rom-com.
Yep.
Loves a rom-com.
But I do love an action. Done me. Yeah. So don't
and
try
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's my favorite. I'm not going to lie.
Trust me. When she gets into her Jim Carrey mode, yeah.
I know when nature calls,
yeah,
line by line, off by
film.
Heart. The
whole film. The whole film. Sorry, people. I'm got a little bit of a cough, but the whole film.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's about it, really. I'm trying to develop a passion for going to the gym because Lord knows, winter's coming. I need to get into it. So trying to be on this health tip and gone through a lot of changes recently.
Work.
Yeah. So that's me. What about you?
You're active. My hobbies growing up were just I was active, man. I remember being active. I was either riding a bike, roller skating, skateboarding,
playing basketball,
playing football. That was like from the ages of I know when your mom tells you you can go outside and make sure you're home before the street lights come on. From that age up to about, 16, 15. Yeah, I was still active. Used to play basketball
regularly.
And he
has the scars to prove it.
And yeah, I've got all these...
Scrapes.
Freezes. And there's times, yeah. The things that... I was just a kid growing up in that sense. But yeah, I was very active on the sports side. And then I kind of... As I said, I got into my dancing. I was playing basketball. Funny thing. One day I was playing basketball at lunchtime. Now's not the time for this. I was playing basketball at lunchtime, and my friend came up to me and told me, "Yeah, interested in dancing." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Oh, I heard that you was a dancer," and I probably told a couple people in school that I was a dancer. Mm. Like, I used to do it at family functions, and I'd be like, "Oh, dancing competition."
Center of attention.
Nah, come on, paparazzi.
Right?
So I was just, you know, like, it was an extension of that. So I used to be like, okay, dancing competition. People say, oh, he's a good dancer. I used to just be a little Michael Jackson fan as well when I was young.
I used to get it into. We used to do talent shows and stuff, and I used to make dance routines to Aaliyah. But anyways, I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Stealing my thunder. Okay. You're funny. So I was just, you know, doing my thing, dancing, coming up. Then I started dancing with my boy. Then we made a group of three guys. This was back when I was 18. I'm 38, yeah. So excuse the pause on the recollection calendar in my mind and all that. In my mind, yeah. Yeah. I behave. And I said, yeah, you know. Because I know. So I was like 20. No, I was
way
back. 19. 18 actually, yeah. So started dancing, rehearsing, going into auditions, getting them, doing videos, going on tours, live shows.
Is it now?
Like shows at like Equinox, like coming up, three guys, you know, three brothers from Northwest End used to practice in a place called Tavistock that used to be there in Harlesden, round the back from the KFC. In between Burger King.
But what style of dancing were you guys doing anyway?
I don't even know. Street dancing. We was the only three black guys that I knew of on the scene.
So body popping,
dancing,
doing all of that.
Street dancing. Nah, but we weren't body popping. We weren't body popping. We were like, you see what, no hype, yeah, but you see what people like Chris Brown do today? Maybe Blair. Without all the rude, you know, rude, just trying to crush man's dream like that. I done lived it anyway, but you know, without, you know, Chris does that. Well, we used to basically do what he done before it was kind of thing like that. Like, so in England, you got these groups like, what's those Flawless Diversity. And Diversity? Like, that's a better example, yeah. So, what they do to the extent where they're more theatrical on stage flip. And without the back, because we weren't back flipping, but we used to get it in. So, before Step Up and all that came out, we used to do it. So, we went round, we done our thing, we had our time, that was cool. And then I got into my music and then I started making music, producing, because I felt like there was more to me than just dancing. Like, I felt like I was dancing, and dancing was, I enjoyed it and everything was cool. And then there was a bit of politics involved. But even besides that, I thought to myself, you know what? I feel like I can't, it felt like I was almost, not suffocating, but I couldn't, yeah. Not like someone's got their hand over your mouth, you can't speak, because all your moves are coming through, you're speaking with your body. But I was like, nah, I got another way to express myself. So I jumped onto the music. I started producing just from my home, just at home with a old Atari ST, hooked up to the television, and that used to show in black and white with an old keyboard. Yeah,
proper, like, my keyboard came from Argos. But you, son, how did you used to record it and stuff? Like, I remember you were talking about bouncing some tapes.
Here we go. Let me show you.
That's how you know he's just, old. Like, let me just wipe, legit, my, real
let me just
talk.
Wipe my face, clear my little throat. Because this is, anybody that knows about trying to do their thing from the ground, yeah, up, and you don't have, obviously, like, everybody starts somewhere, but watch this, yeah. So, this is how I'm making a beat. Stay with me, yeah. So I've got the Atari ST running Cubase on a floppy disk. Yeah, floppy disk.
Oh my God, what, the 3.5 inch or the big massive?
Nah. Levels, 3.5 inch. Yeah, come on. Let me take it as a big floppy. Nah.
Yeah, like a vinyl in
like
a case.
Like a 7 inch vinyl in a case. In a cassette.
Oh, now I know we're really old.
Right, so in a cassette. Yeah, so I got the 3.5 in the flop on the floppy in the ST. Yeah. And that somebody gave that to me, innit? So that's what they gave to me. So I was blessed, innit? I just wanted to make music. I managed to save some money to go and buy a keyboard from Argos. It cost me £60.
Jeez.
I plugged that and I got, I think, a MIDI through box, or I made sure it had a MIDI through function. So basically that allows a signal to go from the computer to the keyboard, from the keyboard back to the computer, trigger the sound.
He's getting nerdy and techy.
Stay with me. So I plugged it all in. Got it all working. As I'm playing it, I'm realizing the mouse ain't working. The mouse got short. So I got to wrap the mouse wire around the mouse in a certain way to catch it. You understand? And then put an elastic band. And that's how I used that.
Right.
So every two moves, it would not move. But the third move, it would come back. So I had patterned it. Yeah. So I was like, one,
poor
two.
Chap.
Got it. You understand? Now, after I've recorded the beat, or made the beat on the Cubase, and I've got that, boom. I bounced that out through the aux, into my hi-fi, yeah? And this is the fun part now. You thought that was serious. This is the fun part. When I want to record a vocal, I bounce. Now, certain people out there like, yeah, I know what he means. Other people are like, what the hell? Does he just stand in the spot?
Did he just leave the room?
Oh, yeah. Even better. Just put the thing in there and said, peace. I'm out. Drops microphone. Bounce. I'm out. So this is what I do. I got two tapes here. And I never had no instrumentals, only on vinyl. I had this Goodman stereo. Now, Goodman, to tell you how old. This is going back, yeah?
Oh, my God.
Goodman's. It had one of them plastic turntables with a plastic record arm, you know, the arm to put the record on the needle vinyl, on the vinyl. One of them, put that on there. I record the instrumental off the vinyl onto the tape. Done. Now I've got my tune ready, innit? I've written down the lyrics, the chorus, I've got ad libs in my head. I'm ready to go off. Yeah. I'm here. You
where
understand?
Was Britain's Got Talent then?
Nowhere.
Or X Factor?
Nowhere. I was trying to holler at HFM. That was the only thing on the radio. People might know, hip-hop heads know HFM is still, I found it still running actually, but sorry. I knew they had this thing where they was submitting, like taking demos or trying to thing. So I pressed, put two tapes in, yeah? So I got two tapes. One now, one tape's got, A's got the instrumental.
Side A and side B. Yeah, yeah. Those two, dual cassette
dual
players.
Dual tape decks, yeah? So I got a stereo. Goodman stereo, record player, two tape deck, five band equalizer.
And you had to press, that was the one where you had to press the record and the play button at the same time.
But now I got to press the play and the record and the play because they both got to, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I pressed play on the first tape and I pressed record on the other one. As that's recording, I've got the mic in and I do what I used to do.
Record the verse first.
Nah, I used to do the chorus. I do the chorus. Boom, boom. Once I've done the choruses, press stop. Take the tape out that I've just recorded onto, because now that's got the blank tape that I just recorded onto has got the instrumental plus me going over the dub, over the instrumental onto the blank tape, and now you've got me on top of that. Yeah. So now I take that out. I put that back where the instrumental was, the first tape was. Take that tape out, flip that around, yeah, or get another blank tape, and we do it again. And I did that process until I laid the chorus, took that out, done it again. Verse, done it again. Ad-lib, done it again. So if I wanted
That's
to
what,
do...
like 5 hours?
If I wanted to do double ad-libs, I had to do one set, take it out, and then do it again. Like, or if I wanted to balance, like a try and balance, like a vocal, not singing, but like a kind of, like how Kendrick Lamar does it, where he's got like his double voice, but two different, like almost octaves or notes, and you get that effect. That's how I had to do it. And boy, I did it. And you know what? It got me to go Norway, so I'm not mad at that. I was like, yay.
So for any of you youngins who decide to invest in a retro Goodman's double cassette player stereo system and want to record the old-fashioned
way,
that's
how you does it.
That's how you do it.
Trust me. That's when I knew I was on it. And from that day, I've just been still making music, and like I'm working with some good people, and there's other things coming. But that's another situation.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to take it on a bit of a serious note now. So I just wanted to kind of ask, like, growing up in Northwest London, I know, like, in London in particular, back in the day, there's kind of this divide based on where you're from.
Yeah, because there's certain conversations that we have, me and Donnell, and she doesn't understand how things are like that. And she's like, are you serious?
Listen, being with him made me realize that I am bougie as hell. Like, I lived a sheltered life.
Yeah, that's...
Because
yeah.
I'm, like, growing up in West London. So I grew... Well, when we first moved to the UK, I grew up in Grove. So I went to Sion Manning. Hey, hey, hey to all my girls out there.
Hey, hey, hey.
And then after that, I went to London Oratory, which is for sixth form, which is kind of even more bougie. I think it was borderline private, even though it's a public school.
Mm.
And after that, I went to uni. So it was kind of like growing up.
I was just straight Queen's Park, Kensal Rise. Well, I went, sorry, I went Kensal Rise, then I went Queen's Park. Kensal Rise Primary School is called something else now. And then I went QPCS, which is now, I think, cool. I don't know. I think it's the same name. Might be.
Right, I don't even know where that school is. Anyways, so I
bougie.
Growing up, even though I was in Grove, like, because again, my mom's so strict, like coming from St. Lucian, from a West Indian background, it's like you go to school and you come home, like there's no loitering. She would do one of them tricks where she would call the house phone at 4, if school finishes at 3:30.
I'm a represent for the UK massive right now, yeah? All the people in the house, all us lot out there, we know that one, yeah? Don't make the phone ring more than times. Don't know what you lot's number was.
Yeah,
mine was like twice maybe, or don't make the phone ring and you don't pick it up. Because if it rings more than that certain amount of time, that's your ass, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's more serious in our household. Like, so we went, there was no loitering. There was no, like, I'm stopping after school to go shop,
yep,
or I'm going to go to Sam's or go get chicken and chips or none of that. Like, you had to go to school and come home.
Yeah.
So for me growing up, it was really, and my like, cause I have mad respect for my mom. It's not even so much that she was strict. It's just that I respected her to a level that was probably a bit ridiculous in some ways. And it, even like when I got older, like, you know, whenever I wanted to go out, like I'd be allowed to go out. I had like a 10 o'clock curfew when I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And she had to pick me up and drop me off, like wherever I was going. Her mom was
on it. Just waiting on the side of the road.
So, you know, for me, it was like I didn't really get to experience like anything. And plus, I'm 5'9" and I've always been plus size. So I've been this height since I was like 13. So nobody had never really tried it with me. And then I wasn't out on road late enough to be getting into them kind of situations anyways. But like, we've had conversations and he's talking about mopeds and running up and down and this, that. I mean, I don't want to put all your business out there, but culturally, like, it was a shock to hear, like, that's the kind of life that majority, I think, of people experience.
And that's the best point to put on it, actually. It's not even the fact, I was, you know, growing up, black male. Sorry, black guy, you know, black male, you know, young boy growing up in Northwest London. For the sake of the cliche, let's say young guy growing up in a hood, innit? So whatever. But
In the ghetto.
But there is a difference growing up, and it is, well, as you said, a lot of people were growing up like that. Just down round the corner. Like Wilsdon, there's Harlesden, from Harlesden there's Neasden, there's Stonebridge, there's all these places I'm naming: Kensal Green, Ladbroke Grove, Mozart, Kilburn, South Kilburn.
But I see little kids like walking around the road today. I'm like, where is your mum? Like, because that would not fly for me. Like, being that age and they wearing all this little piece of shorts and have all their little titty that just developed showing out and in cleavage. And
you hear it, like, you hear it now.
Yep. What is that about? That is not like, I'm shocked seeing that sort of thing. But, and then boys riding around with hoodies up, like in gangs, like they want to do something. I'm a grown ass woman. And like, what you think you're trying? Like,
this is it. This is where there's the cult, the meeting of the two different cultures. Because, you know what I'm saying, like, I could understand how that's not something you would see growing up in St. Lucia. Even when I, at the ages that you were growing up in St. Lucia, when I was growing up in England, I wasn't involved in them same kind of things, but I didn't get involved in the kind of street life.
But even the fact that you may have visibility of it, like being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
At that age, I knew where the bad man was. You know what I'm saying? Like, where the bad man went, where all them left.
The only bad man was my mother.
Around the corner from me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew. Every time I used to ride round my block on my bike, just on my ones, just doing my thing, I look. As I'm riding past, I see certain Z, and that's the bad men. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a ute, and they're doing their thing. So I'm just going back, and they see me all the time, up and down. They know me when they see me. They hail me as I'm growing up. They say, "Oh, you're getting big," and them thing there. But you know what I'm saying? But as I said, I left that area when I was about 9, 10, and then when I came up to Wilsdon, because obviously I was a different age. Like, start turning teenager, start getting college, start going places, meeting people, and then one thing led to another, and not like I would say that I looked for it, that life, but living where I lived at the time with the people living in the area at that time. It's almost like
you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
Well, there's no avoiding it, I should say.
Not a choice. You have a choice, because I had a choice and I chose, and I'm still here. You understand? And I'm saying God's, you know what I'm saying, praise to the Most High God and all that I didn't get myself in half of the trouble or any of the trouble, because when men went right, I went left at certain times, you understand? And it's just like something told me, like, don't do that at that time. You know what I'm saying? Like, when people say they got an angel watching them or your intuition, but I could have, you know what I'm saying? It could have so easily been me, you understand? But it was the next person or this person. And
not even that too, but in those areas, you get profiling happening a lot too.
Just through association.
Just for the way that you look or the fact that you listen in a certain type of car or you riding on a certain bike.
I've been walking through Harlesden as I bust a corner to go down to go to see my, I think I was going to go and see my uncle or somebody. I don't know. I was in Harlesden for some reason. Two brothers sitting on the wall. Look at me and say, yo, bam, bam, bam. They like the holler, man, innit? Like, sunny day, about lunchtime, 1 o'clock, bright day. They holler and say, yo, fam, come. And I was like, yeah, what? Because I'm a guy, like, I'm so, like, by that time, in my mind, in the way I move, when I'm, see, I believe it's all about energy, innit? So when you carry yourself a certain way, you don't attract that kind of vibe or hostility towards you, innit? You know what I'm saying? That's something else we're going to get into because we share a lot of interesting views on that as well. But needless to say, they looked at me and they said, yo, you know so-and-so? And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, we've seen you with so-and-so a couple of times. I've got a thing to tell you. And I was like, yeah, what is that? And he's like, you know what? Mind yourself when you're around my man because X, Y, Z. It's like, okay. And that was just through me being with the round, you understand? So it's different. Listen, me rubbing my hands, sorry people for the background noise,
but the biggest thing that I had to that like I encountered is like, because Sion Manning is an all-girls school in Grove, like and there were some girls that were probably more street savvy and more like, do you know what I mean, in touch with that crowd than I was. Yeah. And I used to see them like rolling up their skirts after school and put on busted. Those big, thick hoop earrings, busted. Like, and all of that stuff. So, but again, you see that kind of thing happening. There'd be boys waiting from St. Charles.
Did they do that in St. Lucia? Did they used to like roll up?
No. As a matter of fact, well, actually, let me really think about that.
Maybe that's an international trait.
Because I think that you do, obviously, it's the same everywhere in the world. You always have, just because of the way people were brought up in different households, in different environments, different principles, you always have those groups. Like, you have the girls that are cool and trendy. Like, that's what Taylor's all this time. We've seen it in all the movies.
The nerds, the cool kids, the jocks.
And I always, going through life, I always felt like I fit somewhere in between. Because growing up in St. Lucia, everybody in my classes knew me. They liked me. They thought that I was, you know, a cool chick, but I never really had like these friendships. Like, it was just more of those things where I kind of just sat in the middle as I moved on through school.
Okay.
Like the guys from St. Charles used to come around to Sion Manning and be waiting for the girls or whatever. And I just used to just generally move away from all of that. Like, I was just so afraid of my mom catching me. I think that's what it is. Yeah, literally. That I just used to just avoid it at all costs. And because I was still, I think, kind of trying to figure out where I would fit in.
Yeah.
It's only looking back in hindsight now that I realized that I was just a middle child. Middle. Like, I was always in the middle of all of those crowds, but so both sides liked me.
Yeah, I was very much the same. Like, I was, like, coming up, I was the same kind of way. I was enough to be down with the man then, but enough to be cool with the cool kids. But I used to play sports. I was in the gym playing with the, you understand? So, yeah, I had the same kind of balance. I understand that. And the funny thing is, I never went looking for that life. I did the same as you. Like, after school, I used to go home. My mum used to be like, make sure you're home, because I burst your ass in the sun. So I'll be like, okay, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. But it's really different now, the dynamics. And it's interesting when you come from these different areas and different ways of living. Because even for me, like, I think I was so unassuming of people that I just never really, in some ways, I never really thought anything of it. I just thought that as long as I stayed away from it, that it would never sort of affect me. Yeah. So I think,
but you live vicariously through my stories.
Yes, I do
my escapades.
I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, he tells some gripping stories, let me tell you. We probably can't even share it on here for legal reasons, but
it wasn't that
serious. But yeah, I think it's definitely it's different. And it's something that I think that we'll probably touch on again, probably in another podcast, just to kind of go a little bit deeper into how that affects us psychologically and also in terms of the choices that we've made in life.
Yeah,
I think growing up, because for me, I know for sure culturally, it's made a big difference, and it's really impacted the direction and the path that life took. So that's all from us today. It was
that was an icebreaker.
Yep. So you guys know a little bit about who we are, and hopefully and heard our personalities through that as well.
We tried to aim for a certain amount of time, but me being me, and I don't even realize either. No one's been watching the time, so we've just been going.
Yep. Yeah, we're probably gonna edit quite a bit of this,
but that's cool. That's cool. That's Donnie. Donnie's gonna take that, and she's gonna edit that, and she's gonna work that. Work. And all I gotta do afterwards is just come. She's gonna be like, baby, can you do a bit of this and a bit of that?
Look, even now, he's still going. We're supposed to be wrapping this up.
This is the good bit. This is when you know who I am. You understand? Because this,
a man who likes to talk. Surprise, surprise. Now. Actually, this will probably help us with our communication, because I think that's something we need to work on in our relationship.
This is why we need to keep this in here. Yeah, because this is what I want people to understand. The reason, and it's intrinsic into our relationship in that sense, but this is why we're doing it. Really. Yep. We're doing it to help improve our communication.
Yep.
Between each other. Because
even though we can articulate ourselves well, I think.
Go on, baby.
We enable, when it comes to the like the meaty stuff and the things that I think that when we're talking about feelings and stuff coming into the mix, like we can talk about things in a very sort of diplomatic kind of way.
Very PC. Politically correct.
Yeah. Basically,
like, don't talk about laptops.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what the hell is PC? Like,
what are you talking about laptops for? Because you're looking at that. You're looking at the laptop on the table and you said PC. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
But I think that when it comes to like being able to vocalize things that affect us and impact us emotionally, I think that we struggle a little bit. So hopefully that the more podcasts we do,
the better we get.
The better we get, the better we get at sharing dialogue
as well. Like we're gonna hopefully, you know what I'm saying, Lord willing, with the intentions that we have for this. When pushing this forward and doing it, and the reception that we get from you all out there, we want to somehow engage, make dialogue with you guys out there. We want to get some people to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah, we'll be bringing in some guests, and I'll also be running a blog alongside this to kind of like touch on some important things that maybe we may not get to discuss, or maybe let you guys know about things that we got going on as well, because we are two very talented people.
Or maybe if you guys hear something within what we're sort of talking about and you want to expand more on how we handled or how we got to or how we came to a certain point, thought, resolution, action, you can, you know, hit the wall.
Yeah, this is probably the only threesome we'll ever be engaged in.
Oh, yeah.
Me, Wayne, and you guys.
Hey.
So on that note, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And this has been another episode of Swear Down.
Swear Down.